You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hey everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here because you're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts. And remember, everybody's got a price, the Million Dollar Man.
This is Don West here, and I'm telling you, Knockouts and Three Counts is the podcast, baby. Make sure that's the one you check out, because, buddy, like me, they're the real deal, baby.
This is Jake the Snake Roberts. Just let me know. You need to listen to Knockouts and Three Counts, or you'll see that damn snake again.
This is the Ring of Honor World Television Champion, a.k.a. Shane T, boy, the baddest champion you've ever seen, boy. And you're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts.
What up, though, everybody? This is Kyle, and you are listening to Knockouts and Three Counts. As you can see, I'm the only one in the studio, but Kyle will be calling in and on the line with us. We got Devin, too. Brother man, throw out your social media real quick.
Man, you can follow me on Twitter at Devin63. That's DevinTheSix3. You can follow me on Instagram at All Steak No Sizzle. That's one word. Hey, if you're looking, I'm not doing that no more.
if you're looking for a car,
we haven't done that in months.
Yeah, it's been quite a minute. But if you are looking for a house, though, I got the plug on a house. The house, if you need a house, man, fuck a car. A house will last you longer. If you're looking for a house, make sure you check out Stransky & Company. They just sold a couple of their new listings. Stransky & Company is a top-producing real estate company that specializes in individual strategy, over-the-top service, and continued success for their clients. They're the real estate easy button. If you're looking to buy, sell, or invest, call them at 248-563-9449 or email them at admin@stranskyandcompany. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook at StranskyandCompany.com and check out the homie Matt Stransky. See what I did there?
That's called a transition.
I'm trying to get smooth with them bitches. But anyways, as you can see in our description for this show, we're going to be talking all about AEW Full Gear and StarCast. Sir.
You didn't throw out any of your social medias or the show social medias or anything like that, you know.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout, on Twitter and Instagram, on Facebook, Kyle Collison. Make sure you're following the show at KO3C Pod, KO3CPod.com, Knockouts and Three Counts Podcast on Facebook. Obviously, if you're watching, you know that, but also Knockouts and Three Counts on YouTube, where you can check out all of our interviews from StarCast. We've got interviews up there just from this weekend with past guests of the show, Eric Bischoff. We've got interviews up there with Luchasaurus. We've got interviews up there with Jungle Boy. We got interviews up there with Marco Stunt. We've got interviews up there with Darby Allin, which caused us to go viral, which we'll talk about that a little bit later. We've also got, Colt Cabana, past guest of the show. We talked to him, too. And we've got the Hangman, and he was doing some cowboy shit. So there's plenty of stuff for you to find on our YouTube and our Facebook and our Instagram and all them shits.
Yeah, man, you got to let people know where they can find you, man.
Yeah, man, make sure you're checking us out, man. You never know where I might pop up next.
So what do you feel like talking about?
Well, where do you want to start first? Do you think we should start StarCast first, and then we'll go AEW, and then we got to talk about some BCWA, as you got BCWA, what's the name of the show? They got the big Royal Rumble this weekend.
Battle Champion.
Thank you. I couldn't spit out the name. I'm sorry, Mike Blackwell. But yes, BCWA, as always, at the Copeland Center on 4th Street, Wyandotte, Michigan. You need to be there. Big Royal Rumble-style match. You've got past guests of the show, The Frogun, Dread King Logan, Justin Maine. I can keep going. Like I say, make sure you're checking it out, man. They're going to be going hard this weekend, Saturday night, Copeland Center, Wyandotte, Michigan. Make sure you're there.
Have you heard about the big announcement? I think it was made either today or yesterday.
No, I haven't. What would that announcement be?
Oh, you're going to enjoy this one, man. So the big match they announced was Halal Beefcake is going to be going up against the Bumping Uglies.
I love this shit. Oh, my God. That makes me so fucking happy. That makes me so happy. Shout out to Rob Dziak. I know you watch this shit. That's the bassist of their band, and you might just be seeing them play a show at a local wrestling show soon. More to come on that soon. But if you haven't seen the Bumpin' Uglies and tag team action, you fucking need to. All the more reason that you should be at BCWA this weekend.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, man. We saw Halal Beefcake. I think last time we saw him was that was it Cinco de Mayo, I think?
Yeah, it was Ooh La La Lucha.
Yeah, Ooh La La Lucha. That's and, the last time I saw him.
And
I enjoyed it.
Did you see half of Halal Beefcake? Idris Ibrahim was on SmackDown recently.
Kyle, you didn't even have to come into the studio, and you're still late.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Turn up your volume. Or speak louder.
Sorry, yeah.
Kyle, throw out your social media.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Team Chaos, KAYOS. You can find me on Facebook, Kyle J. Campbell. You can also find my other show, Wakanda Podcast Is This. You can find that on Facebook and listen to the show everywhere you listen to a podcast.
So we said we're going to start with StarCast first. As a whole, man, I think it was a real intimate setting with where they had it because it was a real small place at Ram's Head Live. But overall, man, there was some really great panels. I was most the ones that stuck out to me on the weekend were I really enjoyed the Inside the Rhodes panel with Cody Rhodes and Brandi Rhodes and Dustin Rhodes. Honestly, my favorite panel of the weekend, I would say, would have to be the Ron Simmons panel. Just to hear some of the stories with that and all those kind of things, man. It was really cool to hear, you know, some of the stories from them going down the road. He gave his thoughts on the Jordan Miles situation.
Pause right there. Give me a quick little summary of what he had to say about that.
He said that Jordan Miles overreacted pretty much. He didn't say it exactly in those words, but he said that he had overreacted. He said it's a known thing that racist shit happens. He goes, I'm not by any means saying that racist shit doesn't happen, but he said the way that Jordan Miles went about it was wrong. Essentially, if you listen to what Booker T said, it was very similar along those lines. He said that with the way he reacted he didn't mention Jay Lethal by name or like that specific situation, but essentially what I surmised out of what he said, it sounded like he echoed the same sentiments of Booker T.
Damn.
And there were a few dams in there.
I can agree with that. Yeah. Go ahead, Devin. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, you guys want to address it because we really haven't addressed it on the show.
So,
we had talked about it the other day. Yeah, it's kind of like what you said. Me and Kyle, we both said the same thing. Like, as a black guy, I was offended, but listening to, you know, there's his side, there's WWE's side, and the truth is going to be somewhere in the middle. And that's where you have to really kind of, you know, try to dive in on. And I can believe the company wanted to do the shirt he wanted to do. They couldn't do the trademark thing because it was too close to the Rolling Stones logo. And I can believe somebody was just not young and dumb, but somebody just didn't put two and two together and just threw that shirt out there. I can believe it. I can believe that he possibly didn't get, you know, word on it possibly. They didn't just run it past him. They ran the original shirt, couldn't do that. Then they ran the other shirt and just threw it out there so they could try to get, you know, some T-shirt money. And I think he had a right to be offended, but the way he went about was wrong. I mean, calling out Jay Lethal, I mean, just because they were wrong doesn't mean you couldn't be wrong in the same situation. I think he did have a point in the beginning, but I think he went too far, especially calling out other people and, you know, insulting other people that had nothing to do with it. I think that was just wrong.
Devin, you can go next if you want.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, Kyle. But my thing, well, I don't know if everybody saw it, but I kind of went on a little rant about that. And I basically, at this point, I'm pretty much done with WWE. And it's not really just because of this issue. It's been a bunch of compounding things. And this was kind of like that last straw for me. Jordan Miles thing, yeah, he was completely wrong for, you know, going as far as he did, you know, calling out Jay Lethal and other companies and stuff like that. He took it too far. But my problem with this whole thing was that, first of all, that shirt should have never been made in the first place. Secondly, the shirt should have never been got as far as it did. And then thirdly, they didn't address the actual issue. To me, the real issue is the fact that nobody in that company, Jordan Miles, WWE, Triple H, whoever made the shirt, nobody in that company saw that shirt and said, hey, maybe we shouldn't do this. And then what WWE basically did was they really didn't, you know, apologize for you know, what they did. They just said, hey, it was Jordan Miles' fault, which makes me believe that they didn't really understand what they did, or they don't really give a fuck. And either one is a problem for me. The fact that nobody in that company said, hey, this is a problem for me. And then on top of that, the whole Hulk Hogan situation, the Saudi Arabia stuff, just a lot of things over the years has just finally got to me. I'm like, I can't support this company anymore personally. So I'm personally done with WWE. And like this was just that last straw.
So for me, man, like, and again, Dev, we talked about this as soon as I saw it, because you're the one that brought the blackface shirt to my attention. I didn't even need to see the blackface shirt for me to be able to look at it and be like, what the fuck is that? Again, obviously, me being a guy who, you know, the majority of my friends are black, I noticed right away, I was like, you know, oh shit, like, wow, that's kind of messed up. But for me, it's like, first of all, I agree with everything you said in that I don't know why they didn't look at that design and were like, okay, maybe that's not a good idea, first of all. Second of all, I don't know how it got that far. So as far as the design goes, man, it's just crazy to me that that's even a thing that got there. But see, my issue with it is this. At first, I was completely and 100%, yo, this is messed up. Like, it shouldn't have happened that way. But once more and more of that information started to come out, like them saying it coming out that he knew about the shirt, A. B, his comments to Jay Lethal and some of the other things that he said on Twitter, like, don't get me wrong. By no means am I defending WWE. By no means am I condoning what happened with that shirt. But I just feel like as soon as he started going into that kind of stuff, it immediately negated everything that you were trying to represent, at least in my opinion. Because when you started taking shots at Jay Lethal and, you know, saying all the things that you were, it now is no longer about that shirt. And it just, I don't know, man. And the thing of it is, what also, in my opinion, didn't help his cause is, don't get me wrong, again, I'm by no means saying that the shirt, you know, wasn't in poor taste, because there's no way that you can stretch that in which it wasn't. But I don't think that it necessarily was meant in the way that it came across. But with that being said, when you start doing all that other stuff, it doesn't help your cause. And, you know, now you're off TV. How is anyone else supposed to look at that? Now you've made yourself look like you're only doing it so that you can get back on TV, or because you're pissed because they took you off TV. At least at this point, that's how it looks to me. I don't necessarily think that WWE's intent was to, you know, do it that way. But again, I totally can see right away where the comparison was made. And I think that the design was bullshit, but that's just,
well, yeah. Let me jump in. So, okay. like I said, the Jordan Miles, his comments and stuff is a problem too. And like Jordan Miles has fault in this too, because if he did approve that shirt, then
you can't bitch about what happened. Too.
Yeah. You can't right. You can't bitch about it if you approved it.
But that's what I'm saying. To me, it's not a Jordan Miles situation. It's that company, period. Because Jordan Miles is a part of the company and that office is the one that, you know, made the shirt. But basically what this is showing me is that nobody in that room understands cultural sensitivity. But I can't completely absolve them from that, because when they went to Saudi Arabia, I haven't seen any of the Saudi Arabia shows since the first one. And if you remember on the first one, I don't know if they're still doing it. There was like an intermission in the middle of that show. Right. And basically that time was taken out for the Saudis to have prayer time, because in their culture, they have to pray at certain times of the day. So they took an intermission out for them to have their prayer, and they didn't allow women on the show. Those are cultural things for Saudi Arabia. So you show me that you can be culturally sensitive. You can, you know, change your company. You know, you can, you know, make concessions for people's cultures. But in this situation, you can't. You don't have anybody in the room that says, hey, I don't know if you know this, but that shirt looks like blackface, and that's not a good look. That's my problem, that nobody, absolutely nobody in that company saw this as a problem, and it got as far as it did. So, yeah, Jordan Miles, he was fucked up for what he did, but he's still a part of that company. He takes blame in this, too. My problem is nobody in the company saw that as a problem.
No, I totally get what you're saying, but I feel like the Saudi Arabia situation is a little different, because it's different when you're going to somebody else's country. Like, you're going to somebody else's country, yeah, they observe the prayer time, but again, they don't run shit over there like we do here. So you knew that, you know, you were going to have to adhere to some of their shit, which I feel like is a little different.
They were going to do whatever they had to. Almost Saudi Arabia, I'm not surprised.
Right, and I'm not saying that to defend them.
Well, no, but because Saudi Arabia is cutting you a check, you're going to be okay with, you know, making sure you don't offend them. But you don't have anybody on your staff that can say, hey, this shirt is wrong, or hey, maybe we shouldn't do this angle because it's going to offend somebody within your own company. That's my problem.
I agree, and I think that's why. I agree, but that's where, like, what all three of us said. I think that just proves that there needs to be more representation. But I honestly believe. I mean, I don't know that they. I feel like it's something that slipped through the cracks. It never should have. But I just from everything I see, that's kind of what I surmise from it. But that's what I see off of it. But since we're supposed to be talking about StarCast and AEW, let's get to the next panel so that we don't end up on a whole hour rant about it. But if you want to hear more of our thoughts, we can definitely make a video about that. If you guys want to hear more of our thoughts about it, say something in the comments or let us know on the page, and we will definitely put something together about that. If you saw our Facebook or were following our YouTube, we got a lot of good interviews. We got to interview past guests of the show, Colt Cabana. We talked about NWA Power. We talked about him going over to tag with Yano for New Japan. We talked about his match with superstar Bill Martel at BCWA, which is where we met Colt for the first time. There was a lot of good stuff in that interview. There was also we talked with all three members of Jungle Jurassic Express. We talked to Jungle Boy. We talked about, you know, his father and the influence that he had. We talked about, you know, them. Jungle Boy straight up said that he wants a trios match with the Young Bucks and Kenny. I think that match would be fire. Then you had Luchasaurus, man, he, you know, again, shed a lot of light on things, gave us a direct timetable of when he's supposed to be coming back. He says that we're probably going to see him at the latest by January of 2020 back in the ring, and that they didn't know until that night he pulled it. Got hurt like an hour before the show. He got hurt an hour before the show, and Marco Stunt had no idea and then stepped in there, which to me, props to Marco Stunt, man. I mean, for you to come in on an hour's notice and not be, you know, slated to be the one in that match and then, you know, come in and do like they did, I mean, to me, I think that's a great performance. What were your guys' thoughts on Marco stepping in for Luchasaurus?
Well, I thought it was I thought it was a damn good match, man. It gave a lot of people been kind of shitting on Marco's stunt because of his size, man. But he definitely went out there and showed, like, hey, I can do this too, people. And I thought it was a good platform for him and an opportunity for him and Jungle Boy too, you know, to show what they have, man.
I couldn't agree more. What'd you think, Kyle?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I was surprised because that's one of the matches I was kind of looking for, because even before he was signed with AEW, I've been a fan of Jungle Boy, mainly because of his dad, Luke Perry. I just so happened to hear about it, like, on TMZ when they were talking about him and saying that his son was an independent wrestler, and that's what led me to go start following him. So I've been following him since before he was at AEW, so I was excited for the match. And then when I heard about that, I was a little bummed. But he did great in the match, and it was entertaining as hell.
So before we get to the next interview that we had on the weekend, shout out to our sponsor, Matt Stransky. I see you in the live feed checking us out. You heard our commercial for them at the beginning. If you need a house, man, hit them up. They got some beautiful houses out there, man. They've sold about 2-3 of them, and I'm sure they've got some more fire coming your way, man. Stransky & Company Realty, check them out. The next interview that we got to do while we were out there, we got to interview past guests of the show, Eric Bischoff, and we got a good 30-minute scrum interview. Most of these scrum interviews were somewhere in the range of 10, maybe 15 minutes, and Eric went for about 30 minutes, and he talked about his time with Fox. He said, you know, like, people were making it like he was brought in to run Fox. He goes, well, nobody told me about that, because he goes, that wasn't the impression I was given, you know, by me coming in to work with SmackDown. And he said that, and he addressed any rumors that everybody was talking about, you know, is there a beef between he and WWE and all those kind of things. And he clearly said, he goes, no, I had a good 30-minute long conversation with Vince just a week ago. We're on good terms. It just wasn't a good fit. And he said he's getting ready to go look into a movie role that he's got going on. So there's a lot of good content in that interview as well. I guess we should address the thing that sent us viral. There was the scrum interview with Darby Allin, in which I asked him, you know, what his thoughts were on his time in Evolve and how it prepared him for AEW, considering we work with Evolve a lot here at home. And, you know, I wanted to get his thoughts on how it prepared him, to which he said Evolve can go fuck themselves. So what are both of your guys' thoughts on that? And did you see any of the fallout from it?
Well, for me, I thought it was funny, and this might be too inside baseball, but I thought it was funny that you were worried that Evolve was going to be mad at us, man. I'm like, dude, all you did was ask a question, man.
Hey, man, you know how I get, bro. I overthink everything, so fuck it.
Hey, man. Look, you can't get not with us.
What do you say?
What was that?
You were not going to work with us. I mean, that's the whole point of being a journalist, brother.
Yeah.
You ask those hard-hitting questions. You can't be afraid of what they're going to say.
You're right. I mean, I asked the question, and clearly it did its job. So that
wasn't even a hard question, though. That's the thing, man. It was just like, hey, so what about your time at Evolve? Fuck them. Like, oh, okay.
Well, dude, it was really so what was so crazy about it, right, is so when I asked the question, like, he paused and, like, stares me dead in the eye, and he goes, you work for Evolve? I said, no. I said, we interview people for them when they come to town. You know, we've interviewed a lot of their guys, and that's where we first saw you. And he goes, yeah, well, tell them to go fuck themselves. And I'm just like, okay, then. That sums it up. Kyle, what'd you think?
I laughed my ass off when I saw it, because you could tell he was trying to make you break. Because when he looked at you, I'm like, oh, if that was me, I would have busted out laughing. But the way he said it was hilarious. Because you could tell he was trying to get a reaction. So
I know, that's why I tried to.
Heard, he got one.
Kyle, are you calling us on a potato today? You sound horrible.
You mean you're... Thank you. So do you.
Wait. I'm impressed that he made a phone out of a potato, man. Let's acknowledge that.
Now, you need to patent that shit. And then, let's see, the other interviews we did, we got to talk with Hangman Page. I talked to him and asked him, my questions were more specific towards, you know, we talked a lot about the Inner Circle, you know, battle with the Elite and Cody saying that the Elite is going to go fight with, you know, the Inner Circle. And I asked Hangman what his thoughts were on that, to which he basically responded saying that they were all kind of doing their own thing and that, Cody is more focused on Jericho right now and all that stuff. But for me, I think, first of all, I like the fact that AEW is bringing back factions, because as a kid, I loved seeing DX and NWO. And, you know, I've always been a fan of the Four Horsemen and things like that. So to me, if they're going to have battling factions, I think that's dope. And obviously, what better place to go than having the Elite versus, you know, the Inner Circle. What are your guys' thoughts on a potential battle with them as far as, you know, those two factions kind of warring? And what are your thoughts?
I actually think that this is going to lead up to kind of like a War Games type thing.
I love it.
Where I've heard that Cody said that he actually offered WWE money to get the War Games trademark back. They said no. So I think, you know, because he's shown a lot of nostalgic, you know, effect for AEW so far with storytelling, with the matches, with some of the presentations. So I think it's going to lead to one of those big faction versus faction matches, to where that'll be the whole main event of a pay-per-view. You know, that could be All Out 2020. That could be the big, you know, the big match there where you take hours and just have everybody just go crazy.
I totally could see that. And as far as the War Games thing and them not being able to get the patent back, I mean, MLW just did a War Games. Well, they didn't call it War Games, but it was essentially a War Games match, but they did it all in one cage. If I had to guess, my honest bet is maybe they might not do the two cage thing, or they might construct something that's a little bit different. I don't know.
Wait, well, here's the funny thing. WWE doesn't own the rights to the name War Games. Court Bauer and MLW own the rights to it.
But if that's the case, then why did Court Bauer and them not really do a War Games?
Well, yeah, Court was just on, I think it was Jericho's podcast a couple of weeks ago talking about this. And basically he kind of let them use it. But, you know, he owns the trademark to War Games. He owns the trademark to War Games and something else. I forgot what it is, but. Like WWE let the trademark lapse and he snatched it up some time ago. So he owns the rights to the name War Games.
Well, then if that's the case, then, I mean, I think that we probably will see a War Games, because you know how tight Court Bauer was with Dusty. I mean, Dusty wrestled for MLW multiple times. So, I mean, I could very much so see.
And they do kind of have a little bit of a working relationship, because MJF is still with.
Right.
MLW.
So is Jimmy Havoc.
Yeah, Jimmy Havoc too. Yeah.
You know, I mean, they've got a connection there, and I'm glad to see that, because to me, then that means that there's a good chance that we could see War Games as the way it should be. With that said, we've talked about StarCast. The last thing I want to point out from StarCast, like I said, another one of the panels that stuck out to me. I thought Moxley's panel was really good. He went into depth with JR, and I think JR was the perfect person to kind of pull some of that stuff out of him. I thought overall you got a lot of good content in there. And again, you know, it's clear, if anything, from what I've seen from Moxley, whether it be either his promos or, you know, what I heard in the panel, it really seems like since he's come to AEW, you know, it's a really freeing. He feels really freed up because he didn't hold anything back. So to me, that was one of the ones that really stuck out to me. There was plenty of clickbait in the Cody panel, because I forgot how it was brought up, but you know, Cody's been doing the whole make him say thing. Well, the next thing you know, they go, they start talking about Brandy, and he goes, Yeah, she's real professional, but she's a, you know, she's all business but a freak in the sheets or something like that. And they had to clarify. he was like, and she's like, he's talking about sex, just for any of you that's going to use that for clickbait. Like, she really reiterated it. And it was just hysterically funny to me because I'm like, anybody that didn't pick that up, I mean, are we 10 years old? But it was that one was pretty funny. But a lot of good questions out of that one. And like I said, it made you a little bit more interested to see what was going to happen as we headed into full gear in the match with Cody and Jericho. With that being said, what do you guys want to do? You want to get into full gear?
Let's get into full gear, man. That's what I want to talk about.
Yeah. All right, where do you want to start then?
Full gear. Well, let me first bring up something that happened last week that I really want to talk about. It was led into full gear. Hands down, Cody Rhodes cut one of the best promos I've seen in a long time. And we got to break this down a little bit, man.
Fuck yes.
Mr. Campbell, you want to jump in first?
Yeah. I actually was watching that live because I watch AEW Dynamite live, and then I watch NXT after. Because to me, I don't know what I'm going to see with AEW.
I mean,
it's Survivor Series season, so I pretty much know everybody's going to jump on everybody's show. Like, even though they finally brought NXT into it, that was really no surprise to me. So AEW, going into their first pay-per-view of their, you know, since they've been having a weekly show, I wanted to see how they really, you know, build up to it. And I was doing something, I think it was on the computer or something, and Cody came out and he's cutting his promo, and it's about halfway through it. And I just stopped what I was doing. I just watched it. And it really did make me think of Dusty. And I love the history of wrestling. And as far as I'm concerned, the greatest promo of all time is the Hard Times promo from Dusty. That one just had so much, it had so much passion. Like, when I try to explain wrestling to somebody who's not a wrestling fan, I usually show them older stuff. You know, stuff that got me hooked. And when I want to show them a promo, I either show them a pipe bomb from CM Punk or I show them the Hard Times. And it was just, it was something that I hadn't seen in a while, because you could tell, even though he was cutting a promo, he wasn't just so much talking to Jericho. He was talking to Triple H and Vince McMahon. And you could see the passion that he was speaking with. And that's not something you see in other companies for the most part. So I think that's what really took the match, you know, up another level to me, because you had that type of promo that was put right there. And the way they booked that final show was perfect, because not just, you know, Cody's promo, you had Jericho's promo video, which was one of the funniest things I've seen in wrestling in years. Like, honestly, like, that proves that Jericho is one of the greats to put that type of video together. And that's basically his reply, almost, to Cody. You have Cody coming with all that passion, and then he just comes with a video with him sitting in a bathtub drinking bubbly. I mean, that to me is AEW in a nutshell.
You know, for me, man. So I know I said I'm not going to talk a lot of WWE anymore, but it's one promo that sticks out in my head over like the past 5 years. I thought was the most cringeworthy, terrible promo I've ever seen. And I don't know if you remember the Roman Reigns Sucker and Succotash promo from about, it was like 3-4 years ago.
That was pretty bad.
Whenever I think about how bad, you know, promos have gotten over the years, I always think about that. And for me, it's everything that's been wrong with that company over the past few years. You know, it's scripted, like, heavily, and no, people can't beat themselves. That was Cody Rhodes. Like, that was Cody Runnels talking right there. That was him. That was coming from the heart. You heard his voice crack when he started talking about his family at that point. And you just feel the emotion coming out the guy, man. And yeah, he probably had bullet points that he had to hit, but then I could tell that he had started getting real for him. And if it's real for you, it's going to be real for me too, as a guy watching on TV. And to me, that's That's the best part of wrestling, man, is people being themselves, raw, real emotion. We can sit here, we can think about that match or any match, and you might be able to remember a few moves from it, but no one is going to remember a match move for move. But you're going to remember how a match or a promo made you feel. And, man, I definitely had the feels listening to that promo, man. And then, like you said, Kyle, with the Jericho follow-up, basically mocking the video that Randy and Cody did a couple weeks before that. It was perfect setup, man. So I was definitely looking forward to this match, man. It drew me in even more.
When I got to see that promo, like the stuff he talked about, like the way that he got that mad at Jericho, like whether that was fully, you know, on the shoot or not, man, like you said, you could see the passion in his face. And when he started talking about, you know, how it took him 14 years to get to where he's at and how he went from undeniable to undesirable. Like I said, man, that's one of the best promos I've seen in a long time. Like that shit was straight fire. Like I could literally probably watch that promo a few times over and I still would love to see it every time I saw it. Like the good promos are the ones that you remember the same way as we remember, you know, Stone Cold and Austin 316. You remember Dusty and Hard Times. You know, any one of those promos you want to pick, man, like that one is one that's always going to be remembered. So what was crazy is I listened to Busted Open a lot, and Jim Cornette, you know, they were talking about Jim Cornette's comments on the promo, and Jim Cornette said that in his opinion, it was like the modern version of the Hard Times promo, to which Bully Ray said that he didn't think that it was the modern Hard Times. And here's why. And I didn't think about it this way, but after he said this, it really made me think. He said that it's not the modern version of Hard Times because Hard Times was to, you know, connect with the people, where you could tell that Cody was talking more so towards Jericho. But even in that case, I mean, like you said, Devin, I tweeted it right off of our page as soon as I watched it. I mean, that promo alone made that like the number one, if not top two matches on that card that I was most excited to see. It's like Dusty always used to say, you know, you got to talk them into the seats. That promo alone was enough to make me want to watch that card. Had I not been there, I would have bought the pay-per-view just for that, because it made you want to see, damn, like he's really, you know, he's really into this. What the hell's going to happen? With that said, should that be the first match that we talk about?
Yeah, just real quick too, if you really want to really hit in the feels, I watched them back to back. I watched Dusty's Hard Times, and then I watched Cody's. And when you watch them back to back, you know, I mean, that was, you know, that is his son, and he mentions his children in Hard Times. It does kind of hit you in the feels. But yeah, if you want to go through if you want to start with that one, I'm cool.
So for me, man, when that match happened, like, you know, there was so much like, damn, what the hell's going to happen, right? And so for me, when Cody came out with MJF, I'm like, all right, you know, this is what it's going to be, because Jericho came out with Jake Hager. For starters, when he took that dive about, what was it, like a minute and a half into that match, and split the shit out of his eye in like the first minute. Like, I mean, that was a deep ass cut, and I couldn't even tell how deep it was until I saw the pictures afterwards. But damn, you know, it just was a gusher. And then the back and forth in that match, man, again, it's storytelling at its finest, man. Like that match took you on such a roller coaster. And for me, my favorite part of the match was more so the little things, like, the fact that they had Cody's mom in the front row, and the fact that Cody went out to the ring and then made sure to go out and go hug his mom even during the match, and then to have Jericho go out there and then wave to her and then, you know, talk shit to her from the ring. It's the little things. It was the details that made that such a great match, and then the back and forth of it. And then, like, again, more details. Like when Jericho got the he got the Walls of Jericho, but it was like the old school, like Lion Tamer type Walls of Jericho. Like that, that to me was what made that match awesome to me. It was the little details. What were both of your guys' thoughts on that?
For me, like you said, it was like a lot of the little things. My big takeaways from that match were Cody. All right. So this company was founded by Cody, Kenny Omega, and the Young Bucks. And they all have done great in here. They've all enhanced the characters. I think the two that have shined the brightest are Kenny and Cody. Kenny, you know, showing a different side of him. I mean, he was known for being more of a technical mat rat type of guy when in New Japan, you know, doing his matches with Moxley, you're seeing a hardcore side of him you really never saw in New Japan, which I think is great for his character. But to me, Cody has shined the most out of them because he is literally giving his blood for this company. Like, he is not afraid to lay it out every single time he's in that ring. And like I said, I've said before for years on this show, he's always been one of my favorite wrestlers because to me, he really just has it. You know, I mean, going off to when he was in Legacy, I always wanted him to be the biggest one to come out of that because even back then I could tell Orton was kind of taking nights off. You know, he wasn't giving 100%. I just didn't see 100% in his eyes. In Cody, I saw that. And now I'm seeing that now that he loves doing wrestling. He loves doing this. And I was, that was the match I was waiting for. As much as I love Mox and as much as I love Omega, that was the match I was waiting for. And the storytelling that he puts into every match that he's in, the storytelling he had in his match with his brother, you know, the storytelling he had in this match, you won't see that in WWE or Impact or Ring of Honor. I mean, I could never imagine seeing that type of emotion in a match, and then you have his quote-unquote best friend literally throwing the towel for him in a match someplace else. And that, to me, is what's taking AEW up another notch for me, is it's giving me something I haven't seen. And to me, it was my favorite match of the night.
What about you, Dev?
Well, one thing that I thought Cody did was I think he kind of answered some of his critics, and I've been one of them too. Since leaving WWE and him doing his independent run and working in Japan, a lot of people kind of criticize him for wrestling a WWE style and not necessarily being able to switch over to more of an indie style. And I think part of the reason why I'm saying this is because he was going up against Jericho, former WWE guy. So I think their styles work very well in this match. So as far as like in the ring, it flowed very, very well because guys both know the same style. But where it took another step is the storytelling. Like you said, Kyle, you add these two guys having a good style clash together and then putting a story on top of it. I thought made one of Cody's best matches I've seen, especially since he's left WWE. And then the twist at the end with MJF turning on Cody. Well, I think we all knew that was going to come eventually. I didn't think they were going to do it now, but I'm looking forward to where they go from here because when you've been watching WWE a long time, you kind of get conditioned that, oh, well, you know, there's a pay-per-view coming up in 3-4 weeks. So they're probably going to have to blow off, you know, they're going to, you know, probably pay it off in a month, but we're not sure when that next pay-per-view is going to be. It's probably going to be April, first quarter of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's going to be the first quarter of the year. So that's a while to go from now until then. So you're going to see this play out every week on Dynamite. So now, I'm more excited to see Dynamite now. Now I want to see how this thing plays out. And I think the quarterly pay-per-view works out for AEW. It's different from WWE because you're not trying to jam-pack a lot of stuff into a 3-4-week bill. You have time to let your storylines play out each Wednesday night. So definitely looking forward to where to go from there.
I agree with it completely because I think even though I said it when we were talking about it after we got off of All Out, you know, I mean, I was sure that I was waiting for MJF to turn that night. But when it happened the way it did. Like I was saying it, I was like, you watch, the sumbitch is getting ready to turn. I was telling the people that were sitting in front of us. But the fact that I said that, but then when they did it the way they did it, I still was like, you motherfucker. That shows that it was done well, because I was waiting for it and I still was like, what the fuck?
You see the guy throw a drink on him?
Yeah, I heard that was a plant, but Randy's telling me we got about 10 minutes left. So let's talk about Mox versus Kenny Omega. I mean, we're not going to be able to get into it in as full depth as we'd like to, but do you think it was too far? Do you think it was a good match? What do you think?
Let me go first, Megan. I'll wrap it up real quick. Dude, this was probably the most brutal match I've ever seen on American television. I got to go back to like FTW days to remember seeing something this brutal. Mm-hmm. Watching Kenny Omega crushed glass, drag this man through glass, and put him in a sharpshooter, and then watch Moxley have to crawl through glass to grab the ropes. At certain points of this match, I literally like had to turn away, but I enjoyed it. I know some people don't enjoy it, but I enjoyed it.
Kyle,
it was. Kyle, hello.
Yeah.
I loved it. I mean, I'm not a big quote unquote death match type of guy. That's actually how I found Moxley. I saw him years ago in a death match. I saw Kevin Steen in one, Kevin Owens in one years ago. I don't seek those matches out. I do like the fact that they did it. And that's because it's counter-program. You know, if you're doing the same thing that Impact, Ring of Honor, WWE are doing, then it does start to feel formulaic. And you would not see, in today's climate, a death match on a pay-per-view, main eventing the pay-per-view. And that's why I liked it, because it was something I normally would not see. And that's what I'm asking for as a viewer, as somebody that is going to be giving them my money, you know, when the pay-per-views come here and on shirts and shit. I want to get something that I'm not going to get from the other guy. And to me, that's what they gave me. I'm not going to critique it too much, because it's not my type of match. You know, it's like me giving a review on a horror film. I'm not big into horror, so it's automatically just mad at me. But I like the fact that they did it, because it was something you wouldn't normally see, and they're giving you something else. If you like that type of wrestling, well, you know you actually might be able to get that now, and that's going to bring in some people.
So I'm gonna chop this up as quick as I can. That was the most wild thing I've ever seen in person ever in my life. I've seen Hell in a Cell. I've seen some crazy shit on indies. I've seen hardcore matches. I've seen all that stuff. But, dude, like you said, Devin, like, there were points in that match that literally made you just be like, what the fuck is going on right now? Like, when they did the mousetrap thing, even when they just pulled the damn thing out, I'm like, what the fuck? And you can look at it and see that the traps are all open. Okay, that's number one. Then you had, like you said, Devin, you know, the glass, man. Everybody in my section was just like, what the fuck? What the fuck? As he's dragging through. And it was like, it was making you cringe, but you couldn't turn away. You know, it was just, I don't even know how else to put it. It was, yeah, dude, it was wild. And then when you throw that in with the way they finished it by ripping up the mat, by hitting the DDT on the wood and all those things, I mean, dude, like there were a lot of people that walked out on that match, but those that were in the arena, like none of us could turn away. It was just, it by far was the craziest thing I've ever seen. And what was crazy is when they fought, when they fought back through the crowd, they literally fought right in front of us, and they were like beating the shit out of each other in the crowd too. So like, I mean, that was a match that just the whole time, dude, you're on the edge of your seat. It, I literally don't have words for it, but all I can say is that it was by far the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. If you get a chance to go back and watch it, I damn near contemplated buying the pay-per-view just so I could watch it back. That's the honest truth. Anyways, before we get out of here, man, like we said, BCWA is this Saturday. We've got multiple past guests of the show that are going to be in the Rumble match. You've got the Frogun, you've got Dread King Logan, you've got Justin Main, you've got all kinds of stuff that's going on. Movado, I believe, will be in it as well. And as we found out, you know, you got the Bump and Uglies are tagging up as well. So, I mean, there's plenty of reason that you need to be at BCWA this Saturday. Copeland Center, Wyandotte, Michigan. We got to see what's going to happen out of this with Studio 86. As we learned at the last show, H3RD, you know, challenged Blackwell and Studio 86 that if they're going to give them another title shot, that if they lost, that Studio 86 needed to disband. There's so much stuff going on in BCWA. If you haven't been there and you haven't felt that energy that's in the room, like I said, man, it's going to be a hell of a show.
I wish I was there, man. I'm kind of sad right now.
You going to cry again?
Maybe. Yeah, on the inside. But I'm going to be checking out Ladies Night Out down in Houston, man. Reality of Wrestling, man. Booker T show. So I think I'll be okay.
I think you'll be
all right. Shout out to past guest Lindsay Snow.
Hell yeah. Shout out to Lindsay Snow. Kyle, like I say, what are you looking forward to with BCWA? Is it the Rumble match, or, you know, let anybody know your thoughts on BCWA?
If you are in the area, if you listen to this before the show, come on down. It's a great atmosphere. You'll be probably standing room only.
And that's not just a saying.
Performers.
And that's not just a saying, like, literally, dude, it's standing room only every time the place is packed.
Yeah, but it's packed, and there's a reason for that. I mean, you're getting real authentic wrestling. It's a great show. You can bring the family. Like, it's a really great environment. You will not be entertained. I am looking forward to the, I don't know if it's going to be the climax of everything that's going on with H3RD and Studio 86. But after what happened at the last show, that is, I cannot wait to see what is going to be the next part of this feud.
Like we said, man, BCWA, check them out. BCWA on Facebook, at GoBCWA on Twitter and Instagram. Make sure you're checking them out. You never know who you're going to see, who's going to show up. Like I said, make sure you're in the building. Before we get out of here, man, everybody throw your social media out. Let everybody know where they can find you.
I guess I'll go. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Team Chaos. That's KAYOS. You can find me on Facebook, Kyle J. Campbell. You can also find me in the Reality Era news page. You can also find me on the Wakanda Podcast, is this group on Facebook. And you can listen to my other show, Wakanda Podcast, is this on Spotify, Apple, Google, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, Anchor. Everywhere you listen to a podcast, we're going to be having a big show coming up this week, and going to have a big show at the end of the year for Crisis on Infinite Earths. So make sure you listen to that.
Before we get out of here, Dev, Kyle, stay on the line when we get out of here. Dev, throw out your social medias.
You can find me on Twitter at Devin63. That's DevinThe63. You can find me on Instagram at AllSteakNoSizzle. It's one word. Make sure you check out the Reality Era News group on Facebook where we talk wrestling. We're going to talk all about, I won't be talking about that, but Survivor Series is coming up and Full Gear and all the good stuff. Oh, yeah. Hey. I forgot. You guys got a party coming up next week, right?
We do. We're going to be teaming up with the homies from Breaking Down the Ring again. We're going to be doing a big Survivor Series party. We're going to have the upstairs booked out, which means we're going to be doing giveaways, and you never know what you're going to get. We're probably going to be giving away some tickets to Cataclysm in December for BCWA. Yeah, man, there's plenty of cool shit going to be going down for Survivor Series. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout. Make sure you're checking out all of our pages. at KO3CPod, Twitter and Instagram. Make sure you're checking out our YouTube. Like and subscribe, man. We're trying to grow up the YouTube. Like I said, there's plenty of dope-ass interviews up there, and there's more to come. We got plenty of fire stuff coming for you this year and going into next year. Next week, we've got Impact Star, part of the Desi Hit Squad. Rohit Raju from Impact Wrestling will be on the show with us. It's going to be one you don't want to miss. And as we said, make sure you're checking out BCWA. And shout out again to our sponsor, Stransky & Company. And shout out to Punch Deck for his song, More, 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 which is what we've been using for our theme song, along with all of our drops from our great past guests and people we've met along the way. So make sure you're checking us out. And with all that being said, anything I missed?
Lions suck. Oh, I'm sorry.
Wrong, well, we already knew that. I didn't miss that. And now that Stafford broke his back, I mean, it's over.
You had to do it.
Yeah, I did.
Poor Stafford. Poor Stafford.
Okay. Excuse me. Wrong podcast.
With that being said, peace.